Please remain standing. Take out your Bibles. First Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 7, 17. Only let each person lead the life that God has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to fill me afresh with your Spirit. It's so important that I'm led by you each time I preach, especially today, Lord. Please guide and direct me. Help me to have ears to hear your voice as I preach. And I pray that you would prepare hearts to receive this word, Lord, and that this word would produce fruit for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Well, that was unexpected, wasn't it? All you people diligently reading Revelations, and then Dan comes in here and throws us a curveball. What's going on? Well, first of all, here's the good news for you who read Revelations. You get another week to read it. So relax. Read Revelations all week. Enjoy it. But I'm doing something completely out of the normal for almost all the years that I've been here. Normally, when it's a specific holiday, a calendar year holiday that we're celebrating, I don't preach on that. And today I am, but I'm really not. But it's this combination. So today, Mother's Day. How many, do we have anybody first-time moms? This is your first Mother's Day. Is this your first Mother's Day, or is he older than a year? So you're a veteran already. Mother's Day, wow. How about this? Are there any first-time grandmas? Any first-time grandmas? I have to be honest. I am so wanting to be a grandpa, right? I just, oh, please God. But actually, this message comes out of that longing. This message is for all of us today. Regardless of where you're at in life, I hope there's something that you can glean from this message. Because it's this. This is the main point. Don't let your life longing become an idol and miss the present joy that God has for you, and the opportunity to glorify His name. That's the main point. Don't let your life longing become an idol and miss the present joy that God would give you and the opportunity to glorify His name. Well, let's talk a little bit about this day, this gift of motherhood. First of all, we acknowledge that God, in His incredible wisdom, created two genders. And both of those genders are equally important and valuable. One is not better or greater than the other. And the good news is that when we look at men and women together, we see a picture of the character of who our God is. It's reflected in men and women in different ways. And that's a good thing. You know, when I think of ladies, I think far more compassionate than guys. Many differences between the genders that reflect who our God is. And that's why we see in Scripture so many times, it talks about how Jesus would gather Israel as a hen would gather her chicks. And we see these things over and over in Scripture, and about men as well. You know, when it comes right down to it, biblical manhood and womanhood is the foundation of a healthy marriage. It's the foundation of a healthy family. And because of that, it is the foundation of a healthy society. And that's one of the reasons why we are seeing society breaking down today. Because biblical manhood and womanhood is not something that the world embraces. It rejects it. And because of that, we're seeing a broken world all around us. And that's just the truth. People don't like to hear that, but that's the fact. The breakdown of the nuclear family and all the results because of that. But today I'm not going to focus on gender differences. And I'm not even going to focus on biblical manhood or womanhood. But the message today is going to focus on your God-ordained present life calling or situation. It's about where you're at today. Everybody. Well, to start out with, we'd say this, that God's plan for some is to glorify Him through the gift of singleness or being married without children. That's part of God's plan for some people in life. Take a look at God's Word. 1 Corinthians 7:8-9. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Philippians 4:11. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And finally, 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. What we have to be careful for if you're single is that it can become idolatry if your joy or your satisfaction depends on you being married. If you are desiring children so much that your joy depends upon that rather than Christ, you have to be careful, because then that moves into idolatry. Because I can't delight in where God has me today and what God is doing in my life today. And you're so worried about something down the road that you miss the joy that God has for you. Delight in God's present calling in your life. Delight in it. God has you here. And sometimes I think we just need to stop and step back and say, okay, that's true. I accept that intellectually, but in my heart, this is where I'm at. God has given you your parental longing if you want to have children and you have not been able to yet or are single. God has given you that calling to use. And so here's my challenge to all of you. To bless and mold someone else's children in partnership with God for His glory. God has given you that. Okay? Now, this isn't just mothers. Okay? This is women. It's also men when it comes to wanting to be a dad and you're not yet. Or sometimes, like in my case, your kids are grown and you miss the little age, the young age, you know? I love that. Love that age. My boys, right over here. So what I want to say is this. So figure out how God would use you in fulfilling those longings by blessing someone else's children. I think it's funny because usually when you have somebody connecting like that with people that aren't their family, they call them uncle or auntie, right? Okay, Tom. Okay, Tom, right here. Tom is one of these guys. Single guy, loves little kids. Uncle Tom to the Freeland boys, right? He drops off a little four-wheeler. I mean, who doesn't want an uncle like that, right? I want an uncle like that. Drops me off a four-wheeler. It's called Uncle Tom. Another famous name for Tom that people don't know is Muddy Tom. Because when you go over to Tom's place, he's got a four-wheeler and he takes you for a ride in these trailers, and he always goes down a muddy trail and you get full of mud. So he's known as Muddy Tom by some kids. What about Emily Ross? Auntie Emily, right? What is it? No, it's Auntie Emmy. It's funny because what happens is that God uses those longings that we have. And as we say, you know what, God, this is a good thing. But I don't want it to become my idol. So are there ways that you can impact the lives of children that and fulfill that longing that you might have? I have to say this, that there are single people, there are married people without kids, and there are empty nesters who serve in the ministries here at La Crescent Free. We have young single people that are serving in the children's Sunday school classes. I love to see that. I love it. They're down there on their hands and knees, and God is using them. And they're gaining skills, and when they do have, if they do have children, how to do that. And we've got empty nesters. You know, I think of when it comes to single people, Kate and Lydia. And then we've got people who are married that don't have kids. And I think of Amanda. And I'm trying to think of others that for a while there it was Khalil and Emma, but they're due their first one. So what happens is that God has given you this longing. And there's a way that you can fulfill that. In the nursery, I see some empty nesters. Sally is there. My daughter-in-law doesn't have any children yet, and she's heading up the nursery. And I want to say that we need help in the nursery, okay? If you need your baby fix, as I call it, then you need to volunteer for the nursery. I go down there every Sunday in between services or during service, and I just have fun with the kids and play with them. And you know what's the greatest part about that? I get to leave, and they stay there. I have a great time. It's so much fun. But then I get to go and say, okay, it's all yours now. But, you know, please, help in the nursery. Next year we're going to need volunteers for Sunday school. This is a great opportunity for those of you in that life stage where you don't have little ones at home. Maybe you've never had them because you're single or without children. This is your opportunity to do what God has given this longing in your heart for. To go down there and mother someone else's children, or be a father to be an uncle, Uncle Tom, or Auntie Emmy. Do this. This is what God has done. He has blessed you with that. And so don't let that desire become an idol where it robs you of your joy today because you're so focused on someday. But rather, delight in Jesus and say, Lord, how can I serve you? By serving your body. And then in doing so, being blessed by these longings being fulfilled. Well, what about parents with kids? All right, what about you? Parents with children at home. Boy, the days can be long when they're little, can't they? Man, I come in here, I get tired watching some of you parents in the morning. That's just for an hour. Parents with children at home, the days are long if they're young, and it can be very frustrating if they're older. But what we have to do when we're in that place where it's a long, long day, a frustrating day, is we have to remember that whenever Scripture refers to children, they are always referred to as blessings, as rewards, as treasures. Children, did you hear that? Did you hear that? This is what you are. You're a blessing. Take a look. Here's what Scripture says. Psalm 127:3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. That's what children are. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but that's what Scripture says. And I'm going to believe Scripture rather than my dark heart. And then in Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then in Proverbs 17:6, grandchildren are a crown of the aged. Children, little ones. I just got these ones here, this service, not many old. You need to lean over and give your mom a big smooch and if you can. Mom and dad, give them a hug, do something. Because you're their treasure. You go up there and whisper in there, I'm your treasure, mom. Dad, I'm a reward. Right? Yeah. That's what Scripture says. That's what I am. What a joy. You know, parenting is a tough deal. And it's very easy to feel like a failure in it. But you have to remember, this is a truth I've said so many times from this pulpit, and you need to hear it again, moms and dads. In the midst of the battle, sometimes we struggle with our own inadequacies, our own failures. And I need you to know that you are not going to parent perfectly. Nobody does. But you are the perfect parent for God's purposes for your children. Okay? You need to know that. I was sharing with someone just a couple of months ago, because obviously their background, their parents weren't, it wasn't a healthy thing. And nor was mine. And I just said, God gave me the perfect parent. And they said to me, they looked at me and they said, but all that stuff that happened, how can you say that? I said, because God was working something in me. And He was preparing me for the ministry that He would have for me down the road. And part of the reason I can talk to you is because of what happened in the past. So God gave me to the perfect mom and dad. They weren't perfect parenting. But they were perfect for what God's purpose was for my life. And so I can rest in that, in all my weaknesses and failures as a parent, that God, from the foundations of the world, determined that my children would be my children, and that God would use me to bring them to a place where they would fulfill His purposes. And so I can rest in that. I can rest in that. And you need to know that too, that God is the one who placed you as their parents. Their moms, their dads, and your imperfections are part of God's glory as He points towards Himself and says, hey, I'm going to use you. Take a look, God's Word again. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, including parenting, okay? But our sufficiency is from God. And 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So yeah, you're imperfect parents, but God placed you with those children. And He's got a purpose. And when those days get long and the times get frustrating, remember what those children are. They're a gift. They're a reward. They're a joy. And the fact that God has placed them with you because you are the perfect parent to accomplish God's will in their lives. So rest in that. Delight in that. Trust and hope. Trust and hope in Jesus. He knows what He's doing. Okay? And He's not finished with you. And He's not finished with your children yet. So would you just relax? Would you relax? God's not done. And you need to hear that. God's working something in you and through you. In the busy and tired and chaos times, what happens is we can do this. And this is where this idolatry can come in. We can reminisce. We can reminisce about times before kids. And we can desire that. We can desire to step into the empty nesting when they're gone. And in doing so, we put our hope in something, our joy in something down the road rather than in that moment. And we miss the little times that happen right in front of us because we're so consumed with what's happening. And we just wish it was like this. And we miss the joy and the opportunity to glorify God. The little simple things that happen right in front of us every day with our children, and we miss them because we're caught up in the frustration and just, boy, it'll be nice when this happens. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're robbing yourself of some incredible joy. Incredible joy. Yeah, I guess, you know what? I just saw something happen in church today, and it flashed me back. It was a little kid sitting in the back, and he was interested in one thing, and all of a sudden he decided he was interested in something else, so he tried to climb underneath the chair. Mom quick grabs him. Remember that feeling? That, oh no, Mike, what are they going to think? Relax. It don't matter. It really doesn't. And it was so fun to see that little kid was so excited about it. And we can get so caught up in the moment of trying to be the perfect parent or what people will think that we miss the joy on the kid's face. We miss the little things. I remember a couple of weeks ago, Tom was showing Owen something. He created a little flash, a little light for him, and he had this battery. So here's Tom sitting on the corner, and Owen is just focused in like, oh my gosh, I'm learning about nuclear whatever, and I'm just going to focus. And Tom goes, watch this. And he clips this clip on this battery, and the light lights up. And he goes, and Owen's staring, and he goes, now watch this. And he flips the clip over, because the light was green, I think, at one time. And then he flipped the light over and clipped it, and now the light was red. Holy cow! And the look on Owen's face, and I'm going, I'm sitting there, and I'm watching Tom, and I'm watching Owen, and I'm watching their faces, and I'm going, you know, you'd miss this if you just got worried about all the little things in life. Sometimes we've got to just stop. Just pause. And delight in the moment. And even if it's chaotic and crazy and hard, look for the moments. Not looking ahead to when things are done, because too soon you're an empty nester. Wishing for those moments of chaos. Trust me, that's where I'm at. Empty nesters. Kids are gone. Oh no, what am I going to do? Your whole life was focused for 30 years for us, 30 years on raising kids, and all of a sudden, now what do we do? I mean, this is my life. My kids are gone. 30 years, what do I do now? So you do what you naturally do. Oh man, I can't wait for grandkids. Right? Empty nesters. Grandkids are the answer. That's where it's at. And grandparenting can become an idol. My joy will be complete when I have grandkids. When I have my own little guys running around me and climbing on me like I'm a jungle gym. That's life. And it will be wonderful. But is that where I'm basing my joy? In that rather than in Christ? Is my joy looking ahead at something I don't have in the circumstances I don't have? Or is my joy in Jesus at this very moment, delighting in who He is? Or is it something that I'm longing for, that consumes me, that steals my joy, and I look and, oh, how come they have grandkids and I don't? Attacking the very goodness of God. I'm jealous. Where's Ben? Ben and Barb are in here somewhere. You got 9 grandkids. The dude doesn't even look like he's old enough to have one. He and Barb together. You got 9. I have 0. But you see what happens? We become consumed with that. And it becomes our idol. And our joy is based on that, rather than in Christ in the moment that He has me in right now. And it's so easy then to go on cruise control and withdraw from mentoring and serving the young ones. So easy to enter into that empty nester stage, and then you move to retirement and you say, it's time to pull back, it's time to shut down. I'm old, I've done my life. And so we pull back. And retirement was never intended in the kingdom of God. But we do that. Take a look at God's Word, what God's Word says. Titus 2:2-5, for those of us that are older, no kids at home. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to your own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. In Job 12:12, wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. In Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Those of you who are empty nesters, maybe you're grandparents, maybe you're not. But you need to hear this. Your calling as a life molder for Jesus is never over. It is never over. Okay? And by God's grace, your godly influence can spread throughout your family, LEFC, and the world. You can make a difference for the kingdom of God. If your kids are gone, are you pulling back? Because the kingdom of God says, you know what? Raise up those who are younger. Pour your life into them. That doesn't stop. That never ends. That's a call from God until He calls us home. That we're to do that. Moms and dads, grandparents. Here's what we do though. Because I've heard a lot of older people say this. Young people here. You hesitate to mentor because of your own failures as parents. You hesitate. You know, you want to see something very interesting, young people? Go look at the parenting blogs. Very few older people are on them. You know why? Because they've got the experience and they've seen their failures and they feel like I have nothing to say. I have two kids of my own that aren't following Jesus. What do I have to say? Please hear this, those of you that are... When I said that, it struck a chord in your heart. You said, yeah, that's exactly right. What do I have to offer? Please hear this. That some of the best counsel comes from failure, not victory. Some of the best counsel comes from failure, not victory. So you need to step forward and say, God, this is what you've called me to. And I feel like I've totally failed. But, I trust in you. You see, because young women and LEFC here in this place, we need your wisdom, your prayer, and your example. That's what God's Word says. Take a look at these two quotes that I found. Elizabeth Elliot. Where are the women, single or married? There you go, older single ladies or men. Where are the women, single or married, calling, willing to hear God's call to spiritual motherhood, taking spiritual daughters under their wings to school them as Mom Cunningham did me? She had no training the world would recognize. She had no thought of such. She simply loved God and was willing to be broken bread and poured out wine for His sake. Retirement never crossed her mind. And a guy named George Boddy in 1840. Give yourself to your Lord for the service of men with what you have. Cannot He change water into wine? Cannot He make stammering words to be filled with saving power? God has need of thee for the service of thy fellow men. He has a work for thee to do. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That's a call for us older people. We want to shift back. We want to kick back and shut down. And the world tells us when you get so old, then you retire. And you do what you want to do. It's all about the glory of Jesus from beginning to end. We have to stop embracing the world's view of things. We need to walk in obedience to God's Scripture. And some of the older believers have told me this. They feel rejected when they try to give advice to young believers. They feel rejected and, whatever, you know. And what happens is that they just stop giving advice until they're asked. That's the advice that we were given. We've already been given by numerous people. Oh, when your kids have kids... Don't give them any parenting advice because they don't want it. It's what we've been told. Is you just don't say anything until they ask. That's the way it's supposed to be. You see, the problem in the world and the church is this. And I say that, and I may offend somebody with this, but the problem is this, that we have the same life cycle getting their primary counsel from each other. That's so out there. Don't you want to talk to someone who has been through it already? Who has experience and gone to the other side? I'll tell you a failure on our part, my wife and I, when we were young parents. We looked at the parents' children, and if we decided we didn't like their fruit, we wouldn't go to them for counsel. That was wrong. I see that now. They could have given me a lot of good advice. But you see, we ought to be seeking counsel from people who are through our stage. That's why when it talks about older women, younger women, they're not talking about age. I think they're talking about life cycle there. You go to those older people. Now, I will say this. When they come to you, when the younger ones come to you, older believers, don't lecture them. And don't one-up them. Oh, I can't believe you do that. You know, the whole story, I used to walk uphill to school every day for 3 miles. You know, why couldn't your kid? So don't lecture, don't one-up, but be an encourager. You might find that young people receive what you have to say if your heart is in that role rather than, I know it all, let me give you my wisdom. But a humble heart. You see, because it takes humility and persistence not only to seek counsel from godly older Christians, but also for the older Christians to have that humble spirit and give it in such. You see, that's what it's about. We're all in a life cycle right now. And I don't know where you are. Are you the single person that longs to be married someday? Or are you married without children and that's going to be where I really become happy? Or are you parents of young children and look ahead and say, boy, I kind of reminisce about the days when house was a little more settled. I'll tell you right now, I miss that. I miss the craziness. I really do. Or you're an empty nester and you're thinking, boy, when I get grandkids. Brothers and sisters, those are good longings. But if they become what your joy and your delight and your satisfaction is based on, those things are becoming idols to you. And they're stealing the joy of the moment from you and an opportunity to glorify God. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Don't let him steal those things from you. Don't let your life longing become an idol and miss this present joy that Jesus would have for you as you glorify His name. We all must be willing to live a sacrificial life for Jesus in every stage of our lives. Take a look at this. This is the verse that we read to open up the sermon. It seemed like some random verse, didn't it? You know, what is this about? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Wherever you're at, delight in that life stage. I get it. There's challenges in every life stage. Paul says, delight in that. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then the Lord is the desire of your life, right? And so He gives you that desire. And those things that you're longing for in your hearts, I know the longing that I have to be a grandparent is something that God has given me. I'm good with that. And I may never have grandkids. I don't know if I ever will. But my delight is in my Lord. And He's given me this desire. That's why I go downstairs and hang out in the nursery. That's why I love serving in the youth ministry. I love my guys. I got a bunch of screw-off guys. They're in 6th and 7th grade. And I go down in there and I hear them banter and stuff. And yeah, it frustrates you at times because, come on, just focus. But they're sixth grade boys. They can't focus on anything. But I love that because I am able to fulfill some of my desires. I miss that time of life. And so one of the ways that I can delight in it, again, is to be a part of it. So it doesn't, me becoming a grandparent doesn't become an idol to me. It's something that if God does, great. And if He doesn't, then I get the privilege of going, working hand in hand with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory to fulfill that desire that He's given me in order to minister to these young ones. That's why I give knuckles to the little guys when they come in. And I talk to the girls, beautiful dresses. Girls, oh, wow. Get down on my hands and knees with the little ones. Do that. And in doing so, God will use you in the body of Christ to impact a generation. And you never know what you're going to do that is going to touch those lives. You never know. There's a guy that comes to this church, told me out of nowhere, he was sharing with me, he said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, yeah, why? He goes, he'll never forget when he was a little boy. Their home was pretty, there was a lot of turmoil there. And I kind of took this little guy under my wing, and we went, whenever we'd go get Christmas trees, we'd get real trees. And one year in particular, we took this young man, this little boy, and we went, took him with us when we got our tree, and we got them a tree. He's never forgotten that. It's a Christmas tree. And he said that always impacted his life. So all of us, single people, empty nesters, whatever, you have an opportunity on this Mother's Day to kind of reorient your lives maybe in certain areas where you're kind of self-focused and things are becoming an idol. Say, you know what, God? Do a work in my heart. You gave me these longings. Show me how I can fulfill them for your glory. Show me how I can just delight in the joy of the moment in whatever it is. Like Kate laughing over there. That doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Brothers and sisters, live a sacrificial life for Christ. Every one of us, be a person of the word and prayer. Because really, don't you want more than anything else to shine Jesus? The more you behold Jesus, the more you will reflect Him. I mean, it's good that I can teach them how to count and say their alphabets downstairs in the nursery. But really, I want to tell them about Jesus. And that's what our Sunday school teachers are doing. In every chapter of your life, find your joy in Christ and be devoted to the glory of God. And I want to share with you just one statement from one of the great modern day prophets, okay? Kenny Chesney. Who's Kenny Chesney? A country singer. He's got a song that says this. Don't blink. Life is shorter. Life is faster than you think. Life goes faster than you think. Don't blink. Let's pray. Lord, if you've convicted any of us that some life stage that we're not in is what will really bring us joy instead of you, we just confess that as sin, Lord, and we ask you to forgive us. Lord, we ask that you would cause us to stop and to delight in the moment that you've given us, the place where you've called us, and that we would desire more than anything to glorify your name in this phase, this stage of our lives. God, we praise you. We see your greatness and your wisdom and creating man and woman, in your design from the foundations of the world, that there would be a family. And this family would be the foundation stone of society. And yet the world has just pulled it apart. God, would you restore families in this church? God, would you do a miracle and cause us, Lord, to serve each other by serving you? God, we ask that you would help us not to miss the little moments. And we pray this more than anything so that your name would be glorified in and through our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name.